Galatians ends with this marvelous word in chapter 6, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. If grace is God Himself in Christ through the Spirit to be our daily supply, then it's most helpful to find out just how to experience such grace. Be with your spirit. These are the words that we'll focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry, and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Today we come to one of the real classic messages in this particular life study series, and here with us to help us enjoy it is Dennis Higashi. Dennis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be back again.
Dennis, I'm really looking forward to this message today, particularly as we come to some wonderful practical fellowship about the Spirit, and we're especially talking today about the human spirit. To touch the book of Galatians, Dennis, means that you touch the matter of grace. But how to experience grace? This is where the human spirit really comes into focus, isn't it?
That's correct, Chris. Grace is not merely something given to us by God in an unmerited way, but grace is really the triune God coming to us, available and enjoyed by us. Grace, according to John 1:17, is a living person, which is Christ Himself. Grace is the moving, the acting of the Spirit within us. And I appreciate in Galatians 6:18 that this last statement, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers, is not a mere benediction or formality, but it expresses the reality of the universe, that grace, who is Christ, who is God Himself, is available and is with our spirit today. So this verse puts together the grace along with our spirit.
Dennis, as I mentioned, the fellowship we're going to get today in Witness Lee's recorded portion that we have from 1980 is very practical. This is not going to be doctrinal or theological fellowship today, but very much a handle to the experience of Christ in our life.
And that's what we need today.
That's what we need, and we're going to get it. Let's join Witness Lee.
In the first five chapters, Paul never touched our human spirit. But in chapter 6, at the beginning, he mentioned this way. He mentioned, you restore the overtaken brother in a spirit. In chapter 6, in verse 1, you have our human spirit. And then, in the last verse, you also have our human spirit. Verse 18 of chapter 6 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers, amen. This chapter is a chapter mainly on our human spirit. This is a strong indication. If you don't know your human spirit, which is your regenerated spirit, you just have no way to enjoy all what Paul talks about concerning Christ and the all-inclusive spirit. You know, when we talk about the illustration of electricity, it all depends upon today, what? The switch. I travel a lot. I was put quite often into different homes. A number of times I was put into a good home quite late, sometimes after midnight. You know, they went to the airport and picked me up and brought me into their home, and they just put me into the room. Brother, here is the room you are going to stay. Good night. Then, I couldn't find the switch. You know, I was a countryman. I don't know so many maids in all the switching way. It's hard. It's really hard. I cannot find the switch. Don't think only I am a countryman. All the Christians are countrymen. Do you know where's the switch? In you? In the whole building. There's no way for you to apply electricity for any purpose but to go to the switch. We are a building. We do have a switch. We do have a switch. That is our human spirit. Amen. Not only so, let me tell you, our human spirit is not only a switch, but the very spot where the heavenly electricity stays, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your smart mind.
No.
Or be with your hot emotion.
No.
Where?
Spirit.
Be with your spirit. According to the Bible, be with your spirit. This grace should be received by you, enjoyed by you, imparted into you. Where? In your spirit.
Dennis, we have an analogy here of an electrical switch to try to help convey the crucial matter of the human spirit and how it affects our experience of grace. Today, we're terming such grace the heavenly electricity. Probably most Christians, Dennis, are not used to thinking of the Christian life in terms of switches and electrical current. Are these really useful and helpful illustrations?
Chris, I think it's a marvelous example showing us a picture of the divine reality today. All real believers have the very triune God installed into them. That triune God, who is the Spirit today, is available. However, the problem is we don't know how to contact Him. He has been installed into us through our regeneration, through our repentance, through our believing into Him. But sometimes we just contact Him accidentally. But Brother Lee's portion in speaking in this program, we can see that not only do we see the revelation of the triune God being installed in us, but we have found the location of how to apply this installation, and that is the switch. And the switch is our human spirit. Our human spirit is the very secret, the very key to apply the very installed, I would say, triune God.
Dennis, if we take this analogy of the switch one more level, it's good to know that we have it. Practically, how do we use it? How does it help us experience the heavenly electricity?
Well, I like to answer that, Chris, by using the very verse you mentioned at the opening, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with our spirit. If we use this analogy that our spirit is the switch, then when we turn on the switch, grace comes. The experience of grace is the experience of the installed triune God meeting us, matching us, becoming one with us, and being enjoyed by us. When we are about to argue with someone, or when we are having a difficult time with something or someone, there's a part that is deeper in us. And that is the indication that beyond our mind, emotion, and will, our spirit becomes activated, and that is the spirit within us, our human spirit, indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's the switch. When we come to that switch, simply by contacting and turning to our spirit, using the Lord's name, calling on the Lord's name, that switch is turned on or switched on. Then the very element and contents of the installed triune God is made available to us. We all have this kind of experience, Chris.
Well, Dennis, we're going to go a little further in this coming section and talk about the spirit, but also the other inward parts of man that the Bible identifies, and that it's very helpful to see from the spiritual perspective just how we're composed, how we're made up.
Yes.
We want to find this switch.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Could you tell me the difference between your spirit and your mind and your emotion and your will? And could you locate in your being, where is your mind? No, I'm not talking about your brain. I'm talking about your mind, psychologically speaking. Now, where's your mind? Where's your will? And where's your emotion? And then where's your spirit? It is quite scientific. In the Psalms, at least one or two times, the psalmist used a tongue for the spirit. Our tongue has very much to do with both our spirit and God's spirit. Why? Because Our tongue is the very expression of our spirit. We shouldn't say that our tongue is our human spirit, but we just cannot define. We are a very mysterious entity. Now, we must get clear about all these parts of our being. When you think, that is the function of the mind. When you are happy, or you are angry, mad with people, that is not the mind. That is something else, which we call emotion. And then you make a decision. That is not your mind, neither emotion. That is what we call the will. Not only so, many times, too many times, you do have some kind of experience, neither in your mind, nor in your emotion, neither in your what? Will. But in something else. For instance, you, as a wife, exchanging word with your husband. Logically speaking, in your mind, you thought you are absolutely right. And your husband just don't have any case in your logics. Then in your emotion, you are just burning to debate with him, to subdue him, to convince him that he is wrong. The mind is active, the emotion is working furiously, and at the same time, some strong decision. No, I cannot let this man go. After marriage, 10.5 years, I've been tolerating, exercising a lot of patience with him, but not today. No more. A strong will. No more. Beside these three things, something so deep inside which said to you, you be quiet. You be quiet. Better not do this. Better not do this. You tell me, what is this? Is this the mind?
No.
Is this emotion?
No.
Is this the will?
No.
What is this?
Spirit.
Now you got it. You have another part, which is called the conscience. The conscience is the leading part of the spirit. When the conscience works, that is the spirit. In other words, your spirit works mainly through your conscience. And according to the Bible, the function of the spirit is just for us to contact God. The function of our spirit relates us to God.
Well, Dennis, we're getting a kind of spiritual anatomy lesson today, it seems. All of our inward parts, our mind, our emotions, our will, all of these must be different than our spirit. What about the conscience? What's the relationship between the spirit and the conscience?
Our spirit and our conscience are two parts of our inward being. We can see that the conscience, Chris, is the leading part of the spirit. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. Then in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, it says that our conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit. That means that our conscience is in our spirit, and our conscience actually is the leading part of our spirit. And so in this regard, there is the connection between the spirit and the conscience, and many times the Lord, who is the Spirit, comes to our spirit through our conscience. And Hebrews 9:14, I believe, proves this, which says that how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We all have a desire to worship the living God, but if our conscience is defiled, if our conscience is offended, that is not the real worship. In a dead religion, you can worship without a conscience that is blood purified. But if you want to worship the living God, our conscience needs to be purified by the Lord's blood. So the Lord always comes to our spirit through our blood purified conscience, by touching our conscience. And this is how we worship God. So in this way, Chris, we can see that the spirit and the conscience are related. Though they are two separate, they are surely integral and parts of one another.
Dennis, what about those folks who, in reading the Bible or in their own, what they've been taught, believe that the spirit and the soul are synonymous, that just two terms for the same thing? How do we help them?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. In the question you asked about, this is somewhat of a spiritual anatomy class, in that it is a common belief that the spirit and the soul are the same, but there's numerous verses in the New Testament that prove otherwise. The very first verse that I can think about is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where it clearly mentions that your spirit and soul and body. You have the two ands, which are coordinating conjunctions. This proves that there are three parts with two conjunctions. If you say that the spirit is equal to the soul, then I would say you have to say that the soul is also equal to the body. It's the same logic. No, the verse proves very clearly that there are three parts, the spirit and soul and body. Another verse in Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is living, dividing the soul from the spirit. If the spirit and the soul were the same, how could they be divided? We have to see here, if you say that the spirit and the soul are just the same, we miss a lot of enjoyment of grace. Why? Because our spirit must be separated from our soul to enjoy the grace. It doesn't say that the grace be with our soul. It says the grace is with our spirit. And I think the main point of this broadcast, Chris, is that we have to see that our spirit is the very point and the very place where we can contact God. When we touch our spirit, which is deeper than the feeling of our mind, our emotion, and our will, we contact God.
This is marvelous. And another thing that is more than marvelous is the portion of fellowship we're about to get from Witness Lee. This will be a very, very helpful portion. I hope all of our listeners are able to focus and concentrate on this coming section.
When we heard the gospel, and we regretted first, and then we repented, you have to realize, what is repentance? Repentance is just exercise of your conscience for the negative things. Through the gospel, your mind has been taught. Then the light of the truth entered into your conscience. Then the light enlightened your conscience. And that enlightenment caused your conscience to regret and to repent. So repentance is just exercise of your conscience, which is the leading part of your spirit. Then, along with your repentance, you would call on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. You are my Redeemer. Thank you. You died on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I take you as my Savior. Right at this time, the Spirit of God came into you and entered into your spirit. So your spirit was regenerated. This is the very spot of our being where we can contact God, and where the spirit, the process triune God of the spirit, dwells. A number of times when you pray, at the beginning, you pray in your memory. In your thinking, in your thought, maybe in your emotion. Gradually, you pray yourself into the spirit. There, in your spirit, you do have the sensation that you meet the Lord. And you have also the sensation that you and He are one. Oh, there's no word to describe how good it is in that moment. And by this enjoyment, we have the assurance that God is real, that the Lord is real, that the Spirit is real. We do enjoy something within us. This is the fact and the reality. Be careful. Whenever you turn to spirit and call on the name of the Lord, you must enthrone the Lord. You must give him the headship, the kingship, the lordship. You must enthrone him. You honor him as the head. You honor him as the king. You honor him as the Lord. You honor him with the throne. Don't forget from what the river of the water of life flows out of the throne. In Revelation 22, the river of the water of life flows out of the throne. Why many of us in our prayer we do not receive that much grace? Just because all the time we just come to point after point, we would not enthrone him. We would rather enthrone ourselves and dethrone him. The flow of grace stops. Now, how to receive the grace and enjoy the grace? How? Number one, turn to your spirit. Turn to your spirit. Forgetting about your mind, your emotion, your will. Turn to the spirit. There is such a desperate need for all of us to learn how to turn to our spirit and how to remain here. Not only so, when you are remaining here, enthroned the Lord, recognizing he's the head, recognizing he is the king, he is the Lord, recognizing his position, recognizing his authority, and admitting that you have no ground to say anything. Giving him all the ground, the river of water of life will flow from the throne to water you. This is to receive grace.
Well, Dennis, I don't want to overstate, but in the about 2.5 years that I've been involved with this production of this life study program, I felt this last section was one of the most marvelous portions we've ever aired. His description of the way our spirit functions in repentance and in receiving Christ was tremendous. I want to go on now and talk about the principle that he touched near the end of his speaking, and that is the importance of Christ being enthroned in us, in our experience of the divine life, in our spirit. Can you pick up this point?
I also was excited about this portion to see how this spiritual anatomy that we mentioned in the portion before functions in us. As an unbeliever, we had the gospel spoken to us. As the gospel was spoken to us, the light of the truth shined in our conscience, causing our conscience to be enlightened, even to be pricked. This caused us to repent. When we repented, we ask the Lord for forgiveness, and this is where we receive the Lord. So you can see there just the process of how the Lord comes to us through our conscience. And this matter of being enthroned, Chris, is surely marvelous. Hebrews 4 also mentions that we can come to the throne of grace. The throne here is put together with grace. When we enjoy grace, we are under the heavenly ruling. We are enthroning Christ. The secret is our spirit. When we contact the Lord in our spirit, this is the very spot that we can contact God, that we enjoy grace, who is God embodied and realized and enjoyed by us. It's really marvelous to see the revelation of our spirit and how it is actually experienced or applied in grace.
This thought of is Christ on the throne in your heart is something that is fairly commonly spoken in Christian circles, and it's a proper concept. I think this fellowship makes it a bit more practical. That thought or idea may be somewhat abstract, but this matter, when you couple that with this fellowship about the Spirit, it makes it very real, very practical to us, doesn't it?
It surely does, Chris, to see that the real enthronement, the real divine and heavenly ruling is when we enjoy grace. If we are not enjoying grace, we are not ruled by anyone. Actually, what rules is just our mind, emotion, and will, the old man. But when we do enjoy grace in a proper and a definite way, we are under the divine heavenly ruling, which is the experience of Christ being enthroned in us.
Dennis, recently we had the good pleasure to come in contact with a dear brother who is involved in one of the radio companies that broadcasts this program in their stations that are actually global. And we were having some very enjoyable fellowship. He pointed out that early on in his Christian life, more than 20 years ago, he came across Watchman Nee's book, The Spiritual Man, a classic volume for many, many people. It has been of invaluable help. And he mentioned that discovering that the three parts of his being at an early stage in his Christian life has been something that has been an immense help to him every day since, I believe was how he phrased it. That is a great volume that I think may be one of the first in this century that really unlocked and opened up this matter of man's tripartite being and identifying these very helpful inward parts to us in such a practical living way.
Yes.
In 1964, just 2 years after he came to the United States to carry on the ministry here, Witness Lee touched this same matter again in a conference in Los Angeles. And out of that conference came one of his very classic publications called The Economy of God. Of course, I think all of our listeners are now somewhat used to hearing us use that phrase. The book of that title, The Economy of God, particularly focuses again on these three parts of man in a wonderful way with all of the related scriptural references. So our listeners could really use this as a tremendous resource to get into this matter. Research this for yourself. Test it. We even encourage you, don't just take our word for it. The book, The Economy of God, which is available either at your local Christian bookstore by name, available from Living Stream Ministry. If you can't find it there, contact us at our toll-free number, and we'll give you information about how you can get it. Of course, we are also offering the life study messages that we've been fellowshipping about in Galatians. We're in volume number 2. The toll-free number to reach us and discuss any of these things or just to visit is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or you can send email to us to radio@lsm.org. When you call again, please mention that we talked about the book called The Economy of God, and we would love to have contact with you and get that book off to you as well. Appreciate having you back, Dennis. Come back soon. We're about a week and a half from finishing the book of Galatians, and we'll have more fellowship before we're out of Galatians and back into Exodus.
Thank you, Chris.
We hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. Today for Dennis Igashi, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.